Again, I'm excited to be a part with the Holy Spirit this morning to release what He wants to bring. I believe we're in a very unique time. And so for 2015, it's expectations. And so with that, it's not just expectations, it's greater expectations, unexpected expectations, and new expectations. So whatever we've expected in the past, God wants to give us a grace to be able to have greater expectations than we've had before. There are some things that we don't even realize are desires that we should have. So we need to be open to unexpected expectations. There are other things that we would not even imagine to think of, that wouldn't even be in our vocabulary. And we need to have new expectations. If we simply have old expectations, we'll prove how old we are. But I got good news for all of us. We're eternal. So that makes us young and old. That makes us the family of God that is secure and knows that the kingdom that we're a part of is a kingdom that has no end. Not only is it a kingdom that has no end, it is a kingdom that has no end to its increase. It's a kingdom that has no end to its increase of grace. It's a kingdom that has no end to the increase of its peace. Now, peace. Peace is the place where there's no gap between you and God. God is not angry at human beings. He hates unrighteousness and He hates wickedness. He does not hate the unrighteous and the wicked. He hates unrighteousness and wickedness because unrighteousness and wickedness is something that blinds the eyes of those who are bound to it to seeing the truth. The truth is suppressed by unrighteousness and wickedness. Romans chapter 1. The wicked and the unrighteous don't suppress the truth. The unrighteousness and wickedness of them suppresses the truth. And what is the truth? God so loved the world that He reconciled all human beings to Himself while they were yet sinners. And therefore, I believe all human beings have been reconciled, but not all human beings are living in the reality of that reconciliation. And so many human beings are living a lie. They're not living the truth. So that doesn't make them less. That makes them bound to a lie. And so we want to free. There's something about this church that we're here connecting people to God, right? City Life Church. I believe that. There was a river in the desert that became a City Life people. That's your journey. Do you understand that? There's a river in the desert that has become a City Life people. And you need to embrace because that's what God said. You're not just a river of blessing. That place of blessing that God put in the desert was meant to be a community that allows the community of this region to be connected to God. So peace is the place of connection. Okay? God likes you. He's not angry with you. And even when you make a mistake, it's not you that He becomes displeased with. He might be displeased with the stupid thing that's trying to come against you. So last night we went into Isaiah chapter 36 and we read the first few verses. And the situation was there was a king called Hezekiah in Jerusalem of Judah, and an enemy came against him. And that enemy was a Sennacherib, and he was from Assyria. So this Sennacherib of Assyria came against Hezekiah, and he came against him with a leader of his troops, Rabshakeh, who was from leading an army from Lachish. Okay, now I'm just going to tell you what that is. So what is the Sennacherib in your life right now? What is the enemy, the Assyrian enemy in the earth right now? What is the Assyrian enemy in your life right now that comes to attack your vision of peace and destroy God's praise in your life? Jerusalem, vision of peace. Judah, praise. If we are the community of God, then the testimony of being the community of God is we see There's no gap between us and God. We are his people. And God is in our house. We are in his house and he is in our house. So because he is in our house, we are becoming the praise of God. It's not a parroted thing that we do. It's the substance of the character, the nature, the way, the power, the authority of who we are as a people. We are God's praise. You are God's praise. And if you look around the room and you see the diversity of people, you'll see that God's praise is fantastic. It can't be defined by one expression. And we are in a time on global earth where God wants to bring his praise through diversity. And we like to see things through conformity. And what does that mean? We like to measure the world by what we are, and the world will be great when everybody becomes like us. Now, the truth is we get stuck in those things, and we don't want to, but I get there. I have preferences. I tell my friends in RIM, you know, the RIM guys, there's five of us in Reformation International Ministries, and all that is we're just five covenant friends who have heard a sound, and we're networking in places that we connect out of relationship, and we believe that God is bringing a global victorious sound of life on planet Earth, that the glory of God is going to cover the earth as the waters presently cover the sea. And in our connection, I tell my RIM friends, if we immediately like something, it's probably old. If I walk into the room and I immediately like the worship that's going on, it's probably an old sound. I was in Spain, and I was in this hotel, and I heard them playing in the lounge some music, and they were playing Jumpin' Jack Flash, yeah? And so I thought, oh, man, all right, Jumpin' Jack Flash. So I went around, and I looked at the dance floor, and everybody on the dance floor's hair was the color of my chin. And then I realized Jumpin' Jack Flash is old. Come on, guys. The tie-dye grew up. And the hippies became grandparents. Okay, so now, God wants, he doesn't want us to be an old people. He wants us to be an ancient people. An ancient people is not an old people. They're a people that is just simply going to be around like forever. It's a multi-generational generation. He wants old people to dream dreams and the young people to have vision. That's the opposite of in the world. He was pouring out his Holy Spirit so that old people will dream dreams. You've heard me talk on it before. The older you get, the younger you should get. Inside. And where is the kingdom of God? Inside. The older you get, the more tender you should be. The more expectant you should become. We talked a little bit about last night. Now, I believe there's a revolution going on planet Earth. I believe there's a grassroots revolution, not a revolution that's led by leaders, but a revolution that's led by the heart of God and the heart of his people, causing those who are his believers, those who embrace him, to become a revolution of life, the people of God. And we are in a time on planet Earth where the enemy is trying to attack that. And it looks like the enemy's trying to attack that, but it's actually, how many of you know that when Jesus was crucified, he was dead, buried, he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and he was seated at the right hand of the Father, and immediately there was a great persecution that came against the church. Do you realize that Jesus stepped on the head of the serpent? He crushed the authority of the devil. He forever destroyed his authority on planet Earth. That he stripped principalities and powers of their weapons, and he stripped them naked, led them through the halls of heaven, and publicly humiliated them, and established a church that would teach them the manifold wisdom of God and the generations to follow. Yet in the first century, after that great victory, it looked like he lost. Because the enemy rose up against to destroy. It looked like what was crushed was healed. And there was a great persecution that came against God's people. Right now, there are people under great persecution in planet Earth. Hundreds of believers in the Iraqi area are being slaughtered, executed. Young children's heads being cut off simply because they say they are believers in Christ. Okay? So it looks like on planet Earth that the enemy is growing in power. But the truth is, he's losing in power. And he's making noise. He's a wounded animal. He doesn't have the authority of life, and so he's divided. A kingdom divided cannot stand. Do you understand that the Islamic world has been divided forever? It's not united. It's divided. Okay? There are things that are trying to come against you in a more personal, individual way that would try to tell you that you don't have the victory in Christ because look at this thing coming in your life. So what is the Sennacherib? Well, a Sennacherib is a thorn, that's a destructive thorn that sets to lay waste. A fleshly thorn. Something that's carnal that seeks to lay waste, and it comes from Assyria. Assyria means to be exalted or lay level. So a foe that's like a destructive thorn set to lay waste his enemies and come against any vision of peace. A thorn in the flesh, like a destructive branch of the flesh that seeks to exalt itself above human liberty and life and make them a level plain. What does it mean to make a level plain? What about this? Is it possible that I could be a destructive force to someone? A destructive force of the flesh that tries to exalt myself and lay and make a level plane? How about this? I'm right. You're not right. You should think like me. Because we're supposed to be the community of God and I have it figured out. And so I'm going to lay a level plane and make you think like me. I have children who don't think like me. They think beyond me. I'm expecting congregations to not think like me as a leader, but to think beyond me. Not outside the boundaries of life, but beyond the scope of what I could possibly think. I believe this church to rise up and think beyond where I have been. Okay, so there are things that come and challenge the vision of peace. I don't even understand what all this is. You know, I'm in a season where God is bringing things that I personally don't agree with. He's causing me to like things that I don't agree with. I would just assume people get fixed and then they come. But God is saying, you're not supposed to fix anybody. I won't go too far into this, but you better get ready because God is bringing you people that you would rather fix before they come. And we need to understand that God wants us to come as we are, but then he wants us to become like him, but it's not our responsibility. It's not our responsibility to make others become like him. It's our responsibility simply to behold him and become so that others can behold him also and also become. And unity is seen through diversity. But there are things that come against the vision of peace. And, of course, this Sennacherib that comes to level the plains sends out Rabshakeh. Rabshakeh means chief cup. Have you ever realized that your life is a cup? And you're given a cup to drink? Like the crucifixion at Calvary, if there's any other way, but nevertheless, this is the cup I've got to drink. We're given a cup to drink. And oftentimes it looks like the cup of the enemy. Now, I'm telling you, it's not about the enemy. Everything that's happening in your life, even if you're in a place where you're battling some disease, you're wrestling with some mental issue, or you're wrestling with cancer, or something that has come to attack your vision of peace, something that's trying to tell you there's a gap between you and God, because it's part of life. And God wants to give victory. I believe that we're in a season where in the church there's going to be supernatural miracles. Even this weekend, I'm releasing in the spirit that cancers be healed. There'll be supernatural recoveries. Supernatural anointing, spirit, soul, and body. I believe for more miracles to happen in Jesus' name. And declare that there are greater expectations, spirit, soul, and body. But I know that we're in a time where it looks like an enemy has attacked praise, coming against the vision of peace. And it's not about the enemy. It's about what happens when that happens. What really manifests. You see, God wants the people of God to be seen on planet Earth. Watch and see. Be awake. Expect it. In the next 16 years, you're going to see the people of God emerge, not the people of religion. You know, they say in England that England is a post-Christian nation. It's a lie. It's not a post-Christian nation. Maybe it's a post-Christian religion nation, but it's not a post-Christ in humanity nation. We get sad when some things are transitioned. In my region, there's a church called the Holy Smoke Tavern. It's got a steeple. It's an old church that's been turned into a tavern. Holy Smoke Tavern. Now, I can get upset about that, or I can say maybe there wasn't enough partying going on in the church. Maybe there wasn't enough new wine to sustain a growing congregation, that finally it had to become some place of false life. There's another one in our city that became a place for instructing karate. Maybe there wasn't enough spiritual warfare and life happening in there to sustain its growth and transition to great liberty, so it finally had to become a place of instructing karate. Or maybe just the structure itself wasn't useful anymore to the now season of God, and so God simply let the enemy have something old. Okay, I don't want to love the structures of the church more than I love the culture of the church. Okay, so this Sennacherib, this enemy that comes to seek and level, sends out Rabshakeh, a cup to drink. And Rabshakeh leads an army that is from Lachish. And Lachish, it means impregnable, impossible to capture, swift, obstinate will, carnal man. So this enemy comes and forces people to drink an unwanted cup. Comes like an invading army that's impregnable, impossible to capture. An invading army with swiftness, its obstinate will, and carnal man. My goodness, just look at the Middle East. Look at the Islamic spirit that's in the earth. And I'm going to tell you, Islam people are wonderful people. God loves them. But Islam is like nasty religious Christianity. It's not a good religion. I said it. I'll post it on the airways. Trust me, I'll pop it out there on social media. I put last night's message up on social media already, by the way. So there's this thing that comes. But now, what is the attack against? The attack is against Hezekiah in Jerusalem. Hezekiah, his name means that he knowing that the Lord is your strength, knowing that God supports you. Do you know that the Lord is your strength? Do you know that God supports you? The people of God. God is the strength of the people of God. God supports the people of God. It's not how strong are the people of God. It's God is the strength of the people of God. It's not how strong are the people of God. God is the strength of your life. God supports you. God is the strength of your life. God supports you. I put that out across the planet right now to the people of God, those who don't even know they're the people of God yet, to you who know you're the people of God. God is your strength. God supports you. God is on your side. Now, he's not on the side of the things in you that agree with Sennacherib. He's on the side of the Holy Spirit, the Christ in you that's the hope of glory. Ha! And he wants you to manifest for who you really are. Hey, it doesn't worry. Don't worry how weak you feel. God is your strength and God is your support, and your vision of peace and your testimony of praise is maintained by the fact that you are like Hezekiah. God is your support and God is your strength. And with Hezekiah, there was a man named Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. And he was one that was the head of the house at the place where the water flowed down from the aqueduct to the fuller's field. And the fuller's field was the launderer, it was the laundromat. It was the priestly laundromat. It was the place that you washed the garments of the priests so that they didn't look like the shame of sin. So that when they had the garments on, they looked like priests. God wants his people on planet Earth to look like his people. Holiness is not something you do. Holiness is something you are, and some things that we do, we pretend to be holy, but all it is smells and bells, and it has nothing to do with being holy. You'd be better off to be on the dance floor and dancing, because God is a DJ. And God wants his people to look like his people. He doesn't want his people to look like religious judges of the world. He wants his people to look like people who connect people to God. And he's got a water aqueduct that brings water that constantly washes you, washes your outward testimony, causes the people in your city to see you and say, "Whoa, my goodness, what is it with you?" And they recognize that you're someone that gathers them, you're someone that draws them, you're someone that connects them to God, because you're connected to God. And so he said, "If anybody believes, come to me and drink, and out of your belly will flow rivers of life-giving water, like the aqueduct to the fuller's field. That living water washes and cleanses and causes a pure testimony of Christ to be revealed." And the one who's in charge of that is this Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. And Eliakim means to know that God establishes, to cause to stand, to be able to raise up by the resurrection life of God. So Eliakim, God establishes, causes to stand, raises up, resurrection hand. And he's the son of Hilkiah, which means he is their portion. God is their portion. God is their protection. So what is in charge of the living water, the life-giving water that flows out of your life? Is there something in you that knows that God is the one who causes you to stand? Not only is God, he's God my strength and God my support, but God, this life-giving water flows out of us here in Deming because God causes us to stand. God causes us to be raised up. God raises us up by resurrection life. It doesn't matter how dead I might feel in a day. God raises up. There's a life-giving water that flows out of the people of God that says God raises up. Right now, what looks like victory of the slaughtering of Christians by ISIS. I got news for you. God will raise up by his resurrection hand. I promise you, there's not one drop of believer's blood that's being shed on the earth that will not be answered with recompense and life. And there will be a revolution that causes the very ones that took their lives to see Christ and bow the knee and confess and declare that he is Lord. Not because God causes them to bow and grovel, but because the spirit of liberty and the spirit of life is greater than any sword of death. It's the sword of the spirit that will cause those who seek to bring death to find the very life that they persecute. Like Saul of Tarsus, they'll be met on the road to Damascus. They'll be blinded in their sight, and they'll become dependent on the one who brings life. This enemy, he seeks to resist and destroy the testimony of God's community in the earth. And he intends, but what he intends will only prove to reveal the true people of God in the earth. Let me put this a little more personal. Though an enemy in your life might seek to destroy and resist and destroy the testimony of God, true community in your life, true communion with God, true testimony of being the community of God. What that enemy, whether it be cancer or religious spirit or legalism or promiscuity or some enemy that's trying to destroy who you really are as a person of God, trying to destroy your vision of peace, trying to destroy your praise, whatever that enemy might be, that enemy will only prove to cause you to manifest as a son, as a daughter, as a people, as the community of God. That enemy has not been sent as an enemy to defeat you. That enemy has been sent to be taught the manifold wisdom of God by you. The mystery of the fellowship. Ha! And then in this place of the vision of peace, where we have Hezekiah, he has Ilkiam at the head of the water. There's also Shebna, the head of the house. And Shebna means to tarry, to dwell in God's presence, to grow in maturity, to be kept young, to be tender, to rest in God. So the head of the house at a time of the attack of the enemy is a testimony of victory, is seen because we tarry, we dwell in God's presence, and he grants us spiritual growth or maturity in the midst of our trial, and we are kept young. Let me give you another word for young: expectant. Expectant. My little grandson was home for 3 weeks at Christmas. It was wonderful because he was home, and we weren't sure when he was going to be home again, so we did our best to spoil him. And his birthday was 2 weeks after Christmas, or the 15th of January. He went home the 12th, so we did his birthday before he went home. So we did our best to spoil him for his birthday. And we're in a church. Our congregation, we got probably 80 kids that are under 12 in our congregation, and they're all close families, so we did our best to have an extravagant birthday party for our 2-year-old grandson that spoiled him bad. It was like fantasy land at our house. Packages were being opened constantly. And then my daughter-in-law, mama, my grandson's mama, she's having another baby, my granddaughter. And so we had a shower for her, so she came home with packages. And you know what? My 2-year-old was expectant. He thought the packages must be for him, because they came in the house. Ha! More packages. You know what? He's young. He's expectant. And he did okay. We had to adjust him. We had to let him know that little sister needed some things too, and some things were for her. So, but are you that expectant? Are you expecting packages? Are you expecting? Do you realize that your birthday is close to Christmas? Could we just have a perpetual season of expectations like a child? You know, I said to my grandson, he's home, and I said, "Caden, you want to go take a ride? Should we go we'll go get some sausage at the deer guy. The guy's got our deer sausage. Well, you want to go in the truck with Gopa?" So he grabs his jacket. He looks at his mom. He goes, "Bye-bye." And he goes, "Gopa." He's expectant. Wants to ride in Gopa's truck. Are you that expectant? Are you young, expectant, tender, receptive? The older you get, the more receptive you should be. Ha-ha. That's not the way of the world. The older you get, the bigger gun you want to carry. Now, I'm not opposed to big guns. I'm just saying the attitude of our hearts needs to be more open, not more closed. And we need to be at rest with Him. And in addition to this Shebna, who was the head of the house, there was a guy named Joah who was the scribe. A scribe is someone who writes down what is happening. And the scribe, Joah, means Jehovah is my brother, or God is my friend. So in a time when the enemy comes against us, it's manifesting who we are. And what is it manifesting? It's manifesting that we are a people of victory because we dwell in God's presence. We grow spiritually. We're kept young. We're expectant. We're receptive and tender. We're at rest in Him. And what the testimony that's being scribed is, Jesus, our brother is our Savior, and God is our friend. Amen. And what's being put as the record by Asaph, the record keeper, what's going to be put in the halls of the records is we were gathered to God. Asaph means to gather. So we forever gathered as His people. There's something happening in the lives of humanity right now that God is wanting to reveal human people as people who know what it's like to be the family of God, to know what it's like to tarry, to be in the presence of God, to be forever growing spiritually, to be young, expectant, to be receptive, tender, to be at rest, to be a testimony of God dwells with us and we dwell with Him. And we know this because it doesn't matter what happens in our lives. We've got really good news. We're okay because our Savior is our brother and God is our friend. No religion knows that. When Christianity becomes a mere religion, it forgets that our brother is our Savior and God is our friend, and it makes Jesus some relentless, strong, powerful king and God some untouchable power that can't be approached. Can I tell you, the one who's the most powerful, the most creative is your friend? Can I tell you the one who has the strongest weapons against your enemy is your brother? And I tell you, you are the people of God. You're the family of God. And I don't just say it to you. I say it to humanity. How God is bringing a grassroots revolution into the earth that humanity will understand that what God desires is a family. He's not the kind of God that takes. He's the kind of God that gives. He's the kind of God that gives and everyone lives. He's the kind of God that expands the generations. He's the kind of God that stretches out His tent pegs for habitation. He's the kind of God that is not judging people by their diversity, but declares that their uniqueness reveals the fullness of who He is. He's not a power that demands the worship of men. He's a power that has come to love the hearts of men. And by the power of that love, we cannot help but worship Him. But it's not the worship that He is looking for. It's humanity that He's looking for. It's you that He's looking for. Huh. So this is the situation. And last night we talked about some of the enemies that are the Sennacherib's. Okay? And we listed out things like promiscuity, my way, what I desire, anything goes. We said legalistic, religious Christianity. I have some of it. It's usually the blind spot of your life. We're often, most of the times, almost always, the enemy of what God is doing is what God did yesterday. More specifically, the enemy of what God is doing is our preconceived ideas that God can never do more than he did yesterday. And what God is doing now, I promise you, will be an offense to what you think God did yesterday. And if you get stuck in a move of the past, you'll get stuck where it's not moving anymore. Radical Islam or any religious force of law is a Sennacherib. Selfishness, self-seeking, living for oneself is a Sennacherib, a destructive force that comes to lay level. Choosing personal comfort and entitlements over future destiny. Come on, we have it in America. It's a Sennacherib. It's a weapon against the true vision of peace. Guess what? Life is not fair, but we are the people of praise with a vision of peace. Why does it need to be fair? The fact that it's not fair makes it great. We were born in unfair situations. Cancer, whether that's physically, emotionally, spiritually, cells that live for themselves and consume other cells to propagate their personal growth. Cancer is a Sennacherib. And I believe that there's a reason there's so many cancers in the world right now. There's so many cancers. They're not new things. They're things that are being discovered. It's just like the Islamic spirit is not something new. It's something that's being exposed. Just like religious Christianity is not something new, it's something that's being exposed. Selfishness is not something new, it's something that's being exposed. Promiscuity is not something new, it's something that's being exposed. Measuring others by law is a Sennacherib. Taking an offense, making judgments of others, whether it's by law or by grace, is a Sennacherib. Anything that is anti-Christ in you, anti-Christ in another human being. It's not Christ in me that's your hope of glory. It's Christ in you that's your hope of glory. And if I attack the Christ in you, I'm a Sennacherib. Because the Christ in you is powerful and personal and very intimate. So we looked at one key, and I'm at the place of keys, the keys to staying in God's presence, because that's what has to happen if we're gonna know that God is our portion, that God is our strength. We're gonna have to stay in God's presence, where we grow spiritually, increase in expectancy, remain receptive, and live in security. May it be said of City Life Church in Deming this year, when the season rolls to 2016. May it be said of this people that this people stayed in the presence of God. They grew spiritually. They increased in expectancy. They remained receptive. And they lived in security. And thus, behold, all things are new. So in our story in Isaiah, in verse 4 through 6 of Isaiah 36, this Rabshakeh, this unwanted cup, came and is saying to Hezekiah, Hezekiah being the place that has the vision of peace, the one in charge of the vision of peace, the testimony of Judah, Hezekiah, that knows that God is our portion. He comes against them and he says, "Thus says the great king, the king of Assyria." Now I got news for you, that's a lie. The king of Assyria is not the great king. So how many of you know that the enemy's a liar? Okay, cancer's a liar. Religious legalism is a liar. Selfishness is a liar. Promiscuity is a liar. My way, only my way, is a liar. Okay, all of these things. He says, what confidence is this which you trust? Now, we're the people who have confidence and trust. And the enemy comes and he tries to attack. Do you really have confidence and trust? Do you really have confidence and trust? Are you really the people of confidence and trust? I say you speak of plans and powerful war, but they're mere words. All you're doing is flapping your lips. What? You got confidence and trust? Ah, the great enemy has come against you. Now, in whom do you trust? I mean, this sounds like some ISIS terrorist mouthing off on YouTube. Now, in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed Egypt, of which if a man leans, it'll go into his hand and pierce him. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. So we said last night, don't measure your expectations by the standards of the world. You trust God. He loves you. Don't let the enemy goad you into leaning into things, something of the world. Now, here's what it looks like. You don't think that you have those things in your life until something happens that causes what you thought was God in your life to become a splintered reed, and you realize, oh, that's just nothing more than a worldly thing. How many of you in the last 10 years have had to let go of some things that you thought were God? Let go of some structure that you thought was God. Let go of some mindsets that you thought were God. And then you realize, no, that's not really the structure. That's just a world structure. It's splintered. I don't need that. And some things that you were willing to fight for in the past, you're not so willing to fight for anymore because they're not so important. I've discovered that being right is not as important as relationship. Because being right is a structure of Egypt. But relationship is a structure of is a culture of the kingdom. Being right is a structure of Egypt. Being in relationship is a culture of the kingdom. So if we're going to be people who stay in his presence, grow in maturity, increase in expectancy, remain receptive, and live in security, we can't demand to be right more than we embrace relationship. It's just one example. Okay, then what goes on, of course, they said, we trust in the Lord, and these Elkayim, Shebna, Joah, they come to this Rabshakeh, and they say, we trust in the Lord. They're standing with Hezekiah. And we come down here to verse 13. This Rabshakeh comes with another assault. He's first is accusing him that you got no confidence, you got no trust, and he tries to say you're leaning on what's in Egypt. And so I think we're in a season like that in the earth. The enemy's voice comes, you know, what do you trust in? And we're leaning on something in Egypt. I mean, all you got to do is look at American politics. Or any politics. So many things in the earth that look like that. So then what happens is Rabshakeh, verse 13, he stood and he called out with a loud voice in Hebrew. How many of you know that Rabshakeh's language was not Hebrew? It was Assyrian. That the enemy doesn't speak the language of God. But you know what? He's going to try to pretend he does. Why? Because you wouldn't be afraid of an enemy's sound, but you would be afraid of something that sounds like the language of God. So the enemy is going to come and he's going to use words that you think are God's words. But the words of the language of God in the mouth of the enemy is not the word of God. Or the language that you think sounds like God in the mouth of the enemy is not the language of God. You know, there are some things that we define as a certain way, and We define it because God says things to us and we think we hear him, but we hear according to our dictionary. Like he says authority and we hear control. So he speaks to him in Hebrew and he says, hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Again, he's lying. Because the one that Hezekiah trusts in is greater than the king of Assyria. The one you trust in is greater than any assault of the enemy in your life. So the enemy's lying here. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He will not be able to deliver you, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me. Be politically correct, please, by a present, and come out to me. And every one of you eat from his own vine, and every one from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink waters from his own cistern. Until I come and take you away to the land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying. Okay, so he's going on. Now, the deal is, his words, he's promising promises. He's speaking the language of God. So I'm going to say that if you're going to be the people who stay in the presence of God, who grow spiritually, who increase in expectancy, who remain receptive and live in security, you're going to have to ignore religious voices. The enemy comes with a voice that even sounds like what you've known God to be in the past or what you've defined him to be. In this case, this enemy seems to be describing blessings that are promised. So have you defined God as the one who gives blessings? Is that your definition? If blessings aren't coming, then it can't be God. If it promises blessings, then it must be the voice of God. If it speaks the language of God and promises blessings, then it must be God. So often what we do, I believe we tend to define who God is rather than allowing God to define who he is. Now, who is God? He's the one who speaks the language of God and puts blessings in my life. So if I'm in a season where blessings aren't happening, then I'm looking to hear a voice that promises blessings. I know some people who've left church and never come back again because they were looking for that voice. And they didn't define the blessings were there. Left family. Because it didn't appear like blessings were there. Now, God is the one who blesses, but he blesses according to his definition, not according to ours. We're going to take a break right here because...